1904 takes us to the final church of Kilcooley Union, Crohan, in County Tipperary. I think of it rather poignantly because it was the church I was in on the last Sunday before public worship ceased for the second lockdown at the beginning of October. So kind of the memory of the togetherness of that day is etched on my mind. I always think there's a bit of a parable in Crohan. I'm sure people there will find it strange that I say this, but it's extraordinarily challenging to find. There's a wonderful maze of roads and countryside that you need to remember and to traverse to get you there. And I found in my early years, going to Crohan, especially in the dark, was always one of the great geographical challenges of the many churches in this diocese. And so perhaps it's a reminder that as we travel through life, the goal is not either easy nor straightforwardly attained, but the beauty of the arrival is always worth the pursuit. 1904. Various events of a cultural nature happened in Ireland. I might have mentioned the opening of the Abbey Theatre, but I'm going to talk about the opening of something called Coloche the Namuan at Ballingeary in County Cork, because it was the first summer college for the training of teachers, and particularly in the Irish language. The explosion of the Irish college industry is rather fascinating, and it's with us still. Indeed, going is a kind of rite of passage for many teenagers. On the other hand, the efforts of all the teachers who also pass through such colleges and devote themselves to the cause of the language doesn't always appear to make us fluent when we leave school, notwithstanding having studied the language for 14 years. And I don't blame the teachers one bit for that. There's a long legacy about where we've made mistakes with the language, that compulsion never worked well. And back in the early days of the state, the paradox of independence was that perhaps we no longer needed the language so much in the search for identity. And English had become the language of pessimism, as it were, that people needed to be fluent in so that they could be trained for emigration. I just wish we could view the language in a more edgy way that really made it compellingly attractive. For some it is so, and I love to tell a story that I was once in Snowdonia in the village of Llanberis in North Wales, and taking a walk on a quiet evening, and in the days when there were still telephone boxes, I noticed there were some local, what we would call in Ireland, gurriers, who I think were breaking the coin box of the phone box to try to extract the money. Not a very laudable activity, but the interesting thing was they were talking to each other concerning their proposed act of vandalism in Welsh. And I thought to myself, when the, as it were, the gurriers of Ireland break telephone boxes talking in Irish, we will have saved the language. We struggle still with how to make Irish edgy, enjoyable, natural, conversational in a wider context than it currently is, although one does rejoice at its somewhat strengthened liturgical position in the Church of Ireland of late. There's less, as it were, nervousness surrounding it in some parts of the Church of Ireland. We have far more Irish hymns. We have a parallel text version of the key services in our prayer book, where one language is on one side of the page, the other on the other, and clergy can move naturally between the two languages as they judge the needs and atmosphere of the congregation. This is very much what the Welsh Church, which is so bilingual, does all the time. And we also have in our Church of Ireland directory now a section which looks at the Irish origins of the place names associated with all our parishes throughout the land, north and south. Anyway, back to Irish colleges. Where would many of us and our children be without those moments of hormonal surge and first-time elongated absence from parents, and even occasional illicit shandy drinking that go with careering around a remote hall bellowing on Puck Air Bwilla?